Thank you. I'd like to remind participants today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the first meeting of the TakeAways drafting team. Gisela, would you be so kind to do a roll call?
Absolutely. On today's first TakeAways PDP drafting team on Thursday, the 30th of August, on the phone bridge, we have Frédéric Guillaumet, Mike O'Connor, Elisa Cooper, Avery Doria, Keith Drazek, Susan Kawaguchi, Ray Fassett, Steve Metallitz, Alan Greenberg, Caroline Hoover. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Barbara Roseman, Barry Cobb, Glenda Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber. And we have apologies today noted from Volker Greimann. We also have a few people who are on the Adobe Connect room who will be joining us shortly on the phone bridge, and I will advise everyone via the Adobe Connect room when they have joined the phone bridge. Thank you. Over to you, Marika. Oh, apologies. If I could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Marika.
Thank you very much, Gisela. And this is Marika Konings. I'm a member of the Eigen policy staff, and I will be the policy staff support person for this drafting team. And if you agree, until the time this group has selected a chair or a co-chair or vice chairs, I'll hope to take you to the first couple of agenda items and just take care of some of the administrative stuff for this group. So the first time we just covered a roll call, and there's a note of the statement of interest. As you can see on the screen, most of you have already completed your statements of interest. I think there are still a couple of people that need to do it, but it's mainly because they're still waiting, I think, for the logging information. As you may be aware, it's a requirement for any Genus or working group to complete your statement of interest. And at the start of every meeting, there will be an opportunity to indicate as well if there have been any changes to your statement of interest that you might want to share with the group. So with that, we might want to move on to item two of the agenda, which is introductions. As part of the Genus or Working Group guidelines, there's a recommendation that at the start of any working group or drafting team, members of the drafting team are invited to actually share some information about themselves, you know, regarding their interests, backgrounds, skills, and experiences, especially as it relates to the drafting team, so everyone can get to know each other a little bit better as we will be working together for a while. As we still have people joining on the call, maybe it's easiest if we just go through the list of people that have already joined for now and then maybe go to others as they join. So maybe if I can ask Frederic then to start off, just a couple of words, who you are, what you do, and maybe your interest in this effort.
Yes, my name is Frédéric Guillemot. I'm from Mail Club, a registrar in France, and I'm a member of the registrar's constituency. And I mean, Mail Club is a registrar, and we also act as a consulting company for some people with new GTLDs. So we have some interest in knowing what's going to happen with the WHOIS in the future.
Thank you. And next we have Mikey.
Sorry, this is Mikey. I was on mute. I am in the ISP constituency, and I was on the IRTP working group that made this suggestion. So I'm part of the continuity group. Been doing a lot of ICANN working groups. Most of you know me. I guess that's it.
Thanks, Mikey. Next, we have Elisa.
Hi, this is Elisa Cooper. I am a member of the business constituency, and I also work for a company called Mark Monitor, and we provide brand protection services to Fortune 1000 companies, and our clients are very interested in obtaining complete WHOIS information. WHOIS is very important for them. So I am very interested in finding out how we can draft this charter, so that we ultimately end up with TakeAways, which is complete.
Thanks, Elisa. Avery?
Hi, I'm Avi Doria. I am a member of the non-commercial stakeholder group. I'm also an employee at that Gay LLC part-time, and as such observe in the registry stakeholder group and the new applicants group. I think I've been in the Who Is trenches since my birth at ICANN. I'm very concerned with privacy issues of Who Is, especially sick Who Is. I'm very concerned with the parody of sick Who Is over any registries that are forced into doing sick Who Is. And so it's that sort of concern I'll be looking for in terms of people's privacy. Thank you.
Thanks, Avery. Next is Keith.
Hi, everybody. This is Keith Drazik. I'm an employee of Verisign and also the alternate chair of the registry stakeholder. So I guess you could say I'm an interested party. Thank you.
Thanks, Keith. Next, I have Susan.
Hi, I'm Susan Calducci, and I am currently the domain name manager at Facebook. I have been involved with ICANN issues for since about 2005 and participated on the Who Is review team up until this past May. I'm a member of the BC, and I'm very interested in the availability and accuracy of a thick Who Is record for all domain names.
Thanks, Susan. Next I have Ray.
Hello, Ray Fassett. I'm with the .jobs registry and also part of the registry stakeholder group. And for those that aren't aware, the .jobs registry today does operate under a thin Who Is model. So the outcome of this group may or may not impact that particular part of our operation. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray. Next I have Steve.
Hi, this is Steve Metallitz. I'm a lawyer in private practice in Washington, D.C. I represent the Coalition for Online Accountability, which is a group of associations and other organizations and companies that whose primary concern in ICANN or major concern in ICANN is access to and accuracy of Who Is data. And I, as their representative, I'm a member of the property constituency, and have been involved with the Who Is issue within ICANN since 1999, I think. And I see Marika disconnected herself. So if someone else on the staff has is still on and has the list that she was working from, maybe you could call on the next person.
Yes, we have Alan Greenberg. Sorry, this is Gisela for the transcript. Thank you.
Thank you, Gisela. I am the ALAC liaison to the GNSO, and I'm here representing myself, not formally the ALAC, but the ALAC and at large has generally been very supportive of thick Who Is for all registries. Thank you.
According to the chat room, it looks like Caroline would be next.
Caroline Hoover next. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is Caroline Hoover. I'm a member of the registry stakeholder group. I'm the CEO of .coop, an existing sponsored top-level domain, and we use the sick Who Is. We are also very interested in ensuring that availability of that data continues because we're very interested in how that impacts the verification aspect of our ICANN charter. We need that information in order to be able to ensure that our registrants meet that criteria. So that's the perspective I'm looking at it.
Thanks, Carolyn. This is Marika. I'm back again. Sorry, I disconnected myself. I have Wilson next on the list.
I am Wilson from Uganda. I manage the Uganda CCTLD, and I'm also a member of the national of the NCC, what non-commercial is a constituency. Thank you.
Thanks. Next, I have Jonathan.
Yes, this is Jonathan Zook from the Association for Competitive Technology. We're an IT industry trade association representing small and medium-sized IT companies whose interest in who is twofold. One is brand protection, and the other is effective enforcement of consumer protection laws around the world that helps build trust in their online businesses. And I guess as a bunch of geeks, we're big fans of storing comprehensive and accurate data, and then as a secondary effort, establishing the policies for getting to that data. But we have to start with good data to begin with.
Thanks, Jonathan. Next, Tim.
Hi, Tim Ruiz with GoDaddy.com, who is a member of the Registrar Stakeholder Group. And I guess my interest isn't so much in the eventual outcome of the PDP as it is in just being sure that we as a drafting team develop a charter that will lay a good foundation for success for the eventual working group that will consider this subject. And that's been an issue that I think we've had in the past, and so I want to make sure that we create a charter that's actually useful and won't create issues and problems, division later within the working group.
Thanks, Tim. And last but not least, I have Carlton.
Hi, this is Carlton. Thank you. I am representing the at-large, but for what it's worth, I am vice chair of the ALAC, and I'm also the chair of the at-large who is working group. The ALAC is on record with respect to who is, and it supports a thick who is across all GTLD registries. The ALAC statements in the last couple of years have been very definitive about our interest in who is, accuracy and accessibility of who is data to end users. Those are all on record. I am interested in ensuring that we conserve the ALAC position with respect to the drafting of the working group charter. Thank you.
Thanks, Carlton. And I think that covers everyone that's on today's call. Did I leave anyone out? I'll make sure as well that those that were not able to participate in the call today, that they also have an opportunity to introduce themselves on the mailing list if they would like so. And as said, further information about everyone can also be found by clicking on the link to the statement of interest on the drafting team wiki. Then the next agenda item is basically just a reminder to everyone that as standard within GNSO drafting teams and working groups, all our calls are usually recorded and transcribed. The mailing lists are publicly archived. So please be aware when you send information to the list that you ensure that you don't include any information that you don't want to have publicly posted on the website. And as I said, you know, transparency and openness, everyone is required to provide a statement of interest and as well at the start of any meeting indicate if there are any changes to their statements of interest. And so the next agenda item is an election of drafting team leaders. The practice is that someone is selected at the first meeting, and that might be on an interim basis if the group feels that others that are not on the call want to have some time to either declare the candidacy or further discussions occur on the list. But hereby I would like to invite anyone that's interested in chairing this group, and as noted here as well, the drafting team might also elect to have a system of co-chairs or a chair and a vice chair where the workload can be shared. So that's something for the drafting team to discuss on how to manage that. I see some people have already nominated someone in the chat, but I'll let Avery do the further talking here.
I suggested it in the, and this is Avery Doria speaking. I suggested it in the chat, but in listening to all of our intros, Tim's stood out as basically being about getting the charter right. I mean, we all want to get the charter right. I want to get the charter right. But his really stood out as that being the primary interest in being here. And so I suggest that Tim Ruiz is, I'd like to nominate him, if he's willing to accept it, to be chair of this group. Thank you.
Tim, would you like to respond?
Yeah, this is Tim. I truly appreciate the nomination. I'm going to have to respectfully decline. But that doesn't, won't be fully participating.
This is Marika. Are there any other nominations or volunteers that would like to take the lead here? I just want to, reassure everyone as well. I mean, staff is here to help you as well. It's really about, trying the meetings, helping, setting the agenda, making sure that the drafting team stays on track. But, policy staff is there as well to really try to do some of the heavy lifting for you as well. So we hope that will reassure you and hopefully someone will want to come forward and help us out here. No one's coming forward. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
Marika, this is Tim. And I'm sorry, I'm not on the Adobe right now, so I don't have a way to get in the queue otherwise.
Yeah, go ahead, Tim. And I think I heard Steve as well. So, Tim, go ahead, and then Steve.
Yeah, what I had thought, now I didn't know if I should do it at this point or not, given the what just happened, but my feeling was that Aubrey would make an excellent chair, given her past experience and the excellent job that she did on the council. I'd have every confidence that she could chair this group very effectively.
Steve, you want to go first, and then maybe Aubrey?
Sure. I would like to put forward Alan Greenberg's name, although I haven't talked with him about this beforehand, and I don't know whether he's available. But I think Alan has a good, strong background he's got his feet in both worlds because he's both on the GNSO Council and he's in ALAC. He's the ALAC liaison to the GNSO Council. So I think that helps to give some more breadth. Frankly, we've had over the years a very polarized situation on this issue within GNSO, and I think having someone who is not simply from GNSO might be conducive to moving forward. I would agree with Tim's remark that, of course, the job of this group is to draft the charters, not to do the working group. So I think that's something that we all need to keep in mind. I think from the years that I've known Alan, he could certainly carry out this task very well. So I'll put his name forward.
Avery, and then maybe Alan.
Yep, this is Avery again. Perhaps I should let Alan answer, but I definitely want to endorse the idea of nominating Alan. In terms of myself, I don't want to be neutral in doing this, so I really don't think, plus I also think I'm just doing too many cherish and vice-cherish things in other places that at this point I really don't think I should or could take this one on. But thank you. And I do heartily endorse the notion of Alan.
Alan?
Well, that puts me in an interesting position. My position is very similar to Avery's. I joined this group because I do have very strong positions, and I'm not sure I would do a good job in the chair role and would be taking off my hat perhaps more often than I had it on. I'm also vice chairing another PDP right now, which is not a large load, but is a factor in it. So I'm not going to refuse right now, but my inclination is to say no, because I don't think this group will be that well served by a chair who is on a regular basis weighing in on the discussions. So I thank you all for your flattering statements you made, but I'm somewhat conflicted, as is Avery, in terms of actually participating in the group. So my inclination at this point is to not accept. I won't formally refuse because I want to consult with some other people, but my inclination is to suppose that I will not be able to do it.
And this is Tim, if I can get in the queue again.
Yes, please, Tim. Go ahead.
I just want to, express appreciation for, the fact that certain members are busy and may not be able to do it, and I can understand that myself. But if, as far as remaining neutral or not, I think I just want to remind everybody that the purpose of this drafting team is to create a charter, and, of course, I think the charter needs to focus on the issue and how to develop that issue appropriately within the eventual PDP working group. And that's where, our feelings or opinions one way or the other are really going to matter the most. So I think chairing this draft team isn't really going to negate the ability of that chair to later participate in the PDP working group and express their views and feelings wholeheartedly. So this is the drafting team for the charter, where we will eventually be used by the working group that will actually develop potential policy. So I don't think being neutral as a chair in this case will necessarily should be a problem.
Thanks, Tim. Alan, are you back in the queue, or Johan?
Yeah, no, I'm back in the queue.
Go ahead.
I disagree, I guess, with Tim, because I think the task of this group is going to be, among other things, to decide how narrow or wide the scope of the PDP is, which I think will lead to whether it is successful, regardless of the outcome. Although I have an opinion of what the outcome will be, what I most want is to see this completed in a reasonable time frame and address the original questions. And I think there is going to be significant controversy regarding the scope. And that that's what I would like to be able to weigh in on, not necessarily on whether it should be thick or thin in the long term. So I think my original position stands.
This is Marika. Maybe we can just, give everyone a couple of more days to think about it. I'm happy to take you through the rest of the agenda for this meeting, and maybe that will also give us an opportunity to encourage people on the list for those that are not on the call today to think about it. And as said before, we're here as staff to support whoever decides to come forward, and hopefully, not make the workload from that perspective too hard. So I don't know if there's anyone else that wants to step forward at this stage, or whether people feel comfortable by thinking about it a couple of days, and we continue that discussion on the mailing list, and hopefully at the next meeting we'll have some candidates that are willing to take up the chair's task. Okay, if no one else has anything on this topic, Alan, I presume your hand is still up from before.
My mistake, it's down now.
No problem. So then we move into the next item, which is the items for review. As part of the agenda, I sent you a couple of documents that I thought would be useful to review as we kick off this effort. What I've done is put together a couple of slides to take you through the main parts of that to really set a bit the stage for where we are in the policy development process, and as well what the drafting team is tasked to do at this stage. So I do apologize for those of you that really read all the documents inside out and for who this is all old news, but I think it's really helpful maybe to just go through this briefly. So first of all, I just want to, especially for those that are new to or relatively new to the GNSO policy development process, just quickly touch upon which stage of the process we're currently in and what has already been completed. So it hopefully gives you a better picture of indeed where we're going with this drafting team and what is going to follow next, because of course we hope as well that many of you will continue in this effort. And then briefly looking at the issue report that was the starting phase of the policy development process, then looking at the drafting team's mission, and then also looking at the working group charter template. So as some of you might be aware, actually the GNSO policy development process was recently revised, and the revised version was adopted by the ICANN board in December of last year, and it now applies to all policy development processes. So at the high level, you'll still see a lot of familiar elements that also exist in the old PDP, but there's some nuances that have been introduced that make the overall process more flexible and more reflecting the reality of how PDPs were being run already. So basically, you know, the issue identification, we've already passed that stage. It's looking at, you know, are we looking at something that might resolve into consensus policies? You know, the issue was definitely yes, this is something that might result into a consensus policy, so we need to move into the PDP stage in order to go down that road. So the first step there is the request of an issue report. That was done already a while ago, and I think come back to the issue report in a little bit on the recommendation of one of the working the Inter-Registrar Transfer Policy Working Groups. There was a recommendation to initiate a policy development process on this topic. Based on that request, staff then prepared a preliminary issue report that was put out for public comment, allowing the community to provide input if all the issues were covered in there, also be allowing them to express an opinion on whether a PDP should be initiated or not. And as a result of that, a final issue report was developed, which was then submitted to the GNSO Council. So on the basis of that issue report, the GNSO Council then decided to initiate a policy development process. And following that, and that's the stage where we are now, with the big red arrow, this drafting team has been created to develop the PDP working group charter. So this is not the working group yet that's trying to, you know, solve the question or provide recommendations on, you know, whether it should be thick or thin, who is. No, this drafting team is really focused on developing a charter for the PDP working group, which then will be tasked to actually look at the questions and within the scope that this drafting team sets. So basically, once this drafting team completes its work, it will need to be submitted to the GNSO Council, which then needs to vote on adopting the charter. So it's not the drafting team itself that decides this is the scope and this is how it should go. There's still an intermediate vote from the GNSO Council following the submission of the charter. And in certain cases, the council might come back with questions, or if there are concerns, it might ask the drafting team to make further changes if needed. So, but only once that charter has been adopted, then is when it moves into the working group stage. And I think some of you are already familiar with how that works, and I don't want to belabor that now. And then I think I'll share the slides with you as well, so you can look at that, look at this at ease. You know, following that, we go into the working group phase, where the working group, you know, dives into all these issues, does the research, has the discussions, reaches out to the different communities and stakeholder groups for the input, and eventually hopefully comes to a final report with recommendations, which are then submitted to the council and after that to the board for their consideration. So that I won't go into the details here, and I'll make these slides available for you if you're interested. And as well, there's some further reading here for those that really want to go into the details of the policy development process. So maybe briefly looking at the THIC WHOIS issue report. As Mike already referred to, in the context of the discussions of the Inter-Registrar Transfer Policy Part B working group, this is it's a PDP that's being run in different phases, looking at the transfer policy. That working group basically realized that from the perspective of transfers, THIC WHOIS would make a lot of sense. It would solve a lot of issues and really would have some significant benefits. But the group at the same time realized that, of course, THIC WHOIS doesn't only impact transfers. There are many other issues that might be impacted by a requirement for THIC WHOIS. So they suggested that an issue report should be requested to actually consider any other positive and or negative effects that are likely to occur and would need to be taken into account when deciding whether a requirement of SICU is for all GTLDs would be desirable or not. So basically on that basis, staff started working on an issue report, which the preliminary version was published in November last year. Several comments were received, some of them focusing on issues that were included but needed to be amplified or needed to be changed. Some expressed some views on whether there should be thin or thick. Others provided input whether they thought a PDP should be initiated or not. And there were also comments in relation to the scope of the PDP. Based on that, we revised the issue report and really tried to incorporate all the comments received and then submitted the final version to the GNSO Council on the 2nd of February. The report itself, for those of you that have reviewed it, describes basically the technical aspects of the differences between SICK and SIN, looks at the current situation of GTLDs. I think, as Ray already mentioned, like .jobs, for example, is under a SIN model now. I think .com is another one, and .net, if I'm not mistaken. Then there are also some that have a tiered kind of access, and the other ones all operate on the SIG model. So it looks at those aspects. And then it also looks at an initial list of issues that from a staff perspective should be considered when looking at this question, whether it's a good or a bad idea of requiring SICUIS. For example, looking at the effect of a consistent response, enhanced stability, enhanced accessibility, impact on privacy and data protection, including consideration of cross-border transfers of registrant data. Also looking at what are the cost implications of a transition to SICUIS for registries, registrars, but also registrants. Are there any potential issues related to database synchronization between the registry and registrars? Consideration would also need to be given to SICUIS registries that currently provide tiered access, and whether exemptions might be needed, should there be a recommendation for SICUIS. What are the links with the possible changes to registry and registrar separation and access to customer data? What might be the impact on competition and registry services? Should all registries be required to provide a uniform WHOIS service? What might be the impact on existing WHOIS applications and users of those applications? What might be the impact on data escrow and registrar port 43 WHOIS requirements, as SICK WHOIS might make this redundant? So there's already a whole list of issues that, from a staff perspective, we believe should be considered as part of the PDP in answering this question of whether it's a good idea or a bad idea of requiring SICK WHOIS, or if there's an answer somewhere in the middle, or how some of these issues need to be considered or addressed, depending on where the recommendations go. In addition, looking at some of the specific items that would need to be considered, we also highlighted some other issues that would need to be considered if a PDP would go forward. Looking, for example, at the relationship with other WHOIS activities. As you're all aware, there are many other WHOIS activities going on, so any working group should probably need to be aware and make sure, provide regular updates to make sure that there's no overlap or contradiction in two efforts that are going on. What some already mentioned, one of the discussions this group probably will have is the scope of the PDP, and there are some of the comments we received as well in the public comment forum was like, should the PDP be limited to considering SICK WHOIS, or could one of the potential outcomes also be a recommendation to require the SIN WHOIS model? Should the scope be that broad? Are there any other models that we need to be considered? Is SICK WHOIS the only answer, or are there other, is there something in between SICK and SIN that might be need to be given consideration? Probably it will also be the consideration of a transition. Should there be a requirement for change? What would need to be considered as part of a transition plan and updating systems? Looking at the overall potential impact on registrants, registrars, and users from requiring or not requiring SICK WHOIS, and also looking, the resources required. Is there any research that is needed in order to help answer some of these questions? But based on looking at the scope of itself, you know, this is related to GTLDs, and within the scope of the GNSO, we did recommend that a PDP should go forward. And as a result of that, the PDP was initiated on the 14th of March. As some of you may be aware, that the formation of the drafting team was initially delayed for a bit because some wanted to await a bit the outcome of the .com negotiations, as there was discussions that maybe Sikuiz would be covered in those negotiations as well. Some were as well worried about workload issues because there were a lot of other activities going on at the same time. By the end, the council decided at its last meeting to move forward, and a call for volunteers for this drafting team was published on the 23rd of July. So as several people several have already remarked, the real objective of this drafting team is to develop a charter. It's not to dive into the substance of the issues and try to answer any of the questions. It's really to develop the scope and develop the charter questions that the working group will need to look at in order to answer the issue at hand. In order to help the drafting team doing that, the GNSO working group guidelines that were developed some time ago actually include a specific section that is titled Charter Guidelines. And basically takes through all the different elements a charter should contain. And on the basis of that, a charter template has been developed, which basically serves as a starting point for most drafting teams when they start developing a charter for working groups. And as you'll see, I'll pull it up in a second, and most of the sections are actually pre-filled based on the GNSO working group requirements. So what we've done is basically lift some of the language on, for example, decision-making methodology, which is a standard and required as part of the GNSO working group guidelines. We've just lifted that and put that already in the charter. There's some other elements which are pretty standard, and you know, it's probably not too difficult to look at what previous groups have done and borrow some of the language there. But I think where you'll see where the real meat and potatoes will be and the real probably hard work will need to be done is a section on the mission, purpose, and deliverables, where it's really spelled out what the task of the working group is, you know, what its scope is, within which boundaries it's expected to work, and what topics it's supposed to look at. With that, I think I've covered the main items that were included in the documents I sent you for a review, and I'm happy to take some questions now. I see Aubrey Sanders already up.
Yeah, I had a question. Well, this is Aubrey Doria. I had a question, which was, in terms of the filling out of the template of all the things that you mentioned were working group requirements, I wanted to see if I remember things correctly, that in many cases those things we're calling requirements are actually guidelines. And if the charter writing group felt that there was a reason to do something other than that, and I'm not recommending that in any case at this point, but just trying to say, am I remembering correctly that for the most part, those requirements are really guidelines, except for have a review and do a this and do a that?
Yeah, this is Marika. Indeed, the GNSO working group guidelines are guidelines, although I think if you look, for example, at decision-making methodology, I think it does spell out that the group and especially the council would as well need to have a really good reason to change that, because
yeah.
I think it's expected that is, certain parts are more firm than others. But you're absolutely right. And I'll pull up now the template so you can see what is in there. I think for now there's very little pre-filled in apart, I think, from the standard decision-making methodology. But I think based on previous experience, some parts are more standard or easy than others are. So now up on the screen, and this was something as well that was circulated and this is posted on the wiki, is the charter, the working group charter template. And the first part, you see the instructions, and I would encourage everyone to read through that so you really know as well what is being expected of the different sections in the template and the eventual charter. So the first section really looks at the working group identification. It's actually a part where many of the elements are, you're probably not able to fill those in yet because it includes some links and the chair and the link to the approval date and things like that. So that's some more administrative stuff. As said, I think where the real hard work lies is the section two, which is the mission, purpose, and deliverables. And as I said before, I think, you know, in the issue report, we try to outline many of the elements that we think should be considered as part of a PDP, but, you know, it's up to the drafting team to look at those and determine whether you think, you know, we've covered them all, whether there's something missing, whether you want to take a different tack. So, but in principle, the basis for this PDP is starting with the issue report. So we encourage you as well to look at the questions that have been outlined there and see how they, you know, fit with a potential charter. So then it talks about formatting, staffing, and organization. And as I said, I think these are more of the standard parts because the GENIUS-O PDP does follow specific rules on, you know, who can join, how the working group is formed, the roles and responsibilities. Again, there is some flexibility, although, you know, most working groups do tend to have, you know, a chair or vice chair and a council liaison. So and it talks about, you know, the policy staff role there. Ray, go ahead.
Thank you, Marika. Two requests on what you were saying there. It would be helpful to me and maybe others, but could you send me a link to the revised issue report or send it to everybody, and then also the link to the comment period that actually produced that revised issue report? It's just hard. There's so many WHOIS things going on. It's hard to find exactly where that is.
Yeah, this is Marika. I can send it around, and the final issue report is also posted on the drafting team wiki. But what I can also post is the redlined version, so people can actually see what was changed based on the public comments, because we do have a redlined version as well. So
okay.
I can include that too, if that makes it easier.
And then as long as I'm on the line here, just a question. Is there today, I think I've seen discussion on this in the past, is there today a policy on WHOIS?
I think there are some parts that are considered policy. I mean, we have his data reminder, but I don't think, and maybe I'm I have to put Susan on the spot here, who is, I think, a member of the WHOIS review team. But if I recall, I think one of their recommendations is actually to bring all the different parts of WHOIS together. But I don't think, and there is one and only WHOIS is policy as such.
Okay.
Susan, are you able to help me out?
Yeah, this is Susan. We looked hard and reviewed everything and could not find a clear and concise policy. So one of our recommendations of the WHOIS review team was that not to draft a new policy, but to create a document that outlines the current policy so it's easy to find and understand. So.
Thanks, Susan. So this is Marika again. So then looking at some of the other sections, rules of engagement that talks more about decision-making methodologies. As mentioned, that's standard methodology is included here. It does say if the chartering organization wish to deviate, and that would be the GENIUS-O Council, they are able to do so, and it should be affirmatively stated in that section. Talks about status reporting, problem and issue escalating processes. Again, those are elements that are part of the GENIUS-O working group guidelines and relatively standard language, although, you know, as Ivory said, you know, the working group is free as well to enhance or make changes there if they think appropriate. And then has a section on the charter, document history. So if you don't look there, most of the sections are blank for now. As I said, section 4 has been pre-filled in. But again, you know, feel free to look at that. And if you feel there are any things that need to be changed there, you know, that's something that can be discussed. So basically, this is the task you have ahead of you, completing this document. So I don't know if there are any other questions on the specific items that I circulated for review, or if people feel that there are any other documents or information that the drafting team should review for as it gets started on its task. Again, people should feel free to circulate information on the mailing list or suggest documents to read. We have a section on the wiki space as well with background documents where we can post that information, so it is at a central location, and people shouldn't have any difficulty finding it. The next item on the agenda is looking at development of a work plan to develop the charter. I think it's probably a bit too early to maybe go into that now, but it's maybe something for people to think about. Does the drafting team want to set itself a goal as to when it would like to deliver this to the GNSO Council? It might want to look at the GNSO Council calendar and maybe set a fictitious date time to work towards that and delivering it. I think it needs to be delivered like 8 days in advance of a GNSO Council meeting for them to be able to consider it. Maybe think about what discussions or information the group thinks it further needs in order to complete this charter. So with that, I think that's everything I wanted to cover from my side. I think the homework is for everyone to look at the documents, think about the chair position, because we really need someone to help move this group forward. And I think then the question is, when would we like to meet again? Is this a good time for people so we can schedule a meeting for next week at the same time? Do people prefer a two-week interval to have time to look at the documents and take some time to think about the chair role? Should we send out a new doodle poll to find another time? Are there any preferences there?
Marika, this is Steve Metalitz. Could I just make a suggestion on that?
Yes, please go ahead.
I think as Tim and others have pointed out, the role here is simply to simply may not be the right adverb, but our role here is to draft the charter, not to do the work of the working group. So I hope we can set an ambitious time frame and try to get this drafting done as expeditiously as possible. And in that regard, I guess I would suggest that we try to meet weekly. I do think it would be useful to have a doodle poll so that since this time was set just for this first meeting, it might be useful to have a doodle poll, but I would encourage it to be done in a way, maybe you can propose, a series of meetings, or say Thursday at such and such a time for the next 3 weeks, or something like that, or give that as an option, and Friday at such and such a time. In other words, let's use a doodle poll, but let's try to be as efficient as possible and end up with a set of meetings that can move us quickly toward our limited goal of this drafting team. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Avery?
Yeah. I'm not all that happy about yet another doodle poll. I think we did one that found this slot. I mean, if you have to do one, you have to do one. But certainly I would like to minimize doodle polls as much as possible. I think aiming meetings towards the Wednesday and end of the week is probably good, since everything seems to be crowded in the Mondays and Tuesdays these days. So I think that's good. I think another meeting next week to get started is probably a good idea. I would tend to think that I would recommend a biweekly schedule after that, just to give people time to get the work done and such. And while I totally agree with expeditiousness, I think since, the charter is not only identifying the scope, it is identifying the questions to be answered, that we not rush our expeditiousness too much. Thanks.
Alan?
Thank you. I guess my comment is picking and choosing from both Steve's and Avery's. I do support working weekly. We can always cancel a meeting if whatever task we have is going to take more than a week. But doing things every 2 weeks just stretches it out and guarantees we won't get it done by Christmas or Toronto or Christmas or some target like that. So I would plan on every week and give people a vacation if we
find in any given case is not necessary. This particular time slot, I don't think I've ever seen this many people participate in a meeting and have that many of the people who responded to the doodle said they could make it. So this one I think is pretty good. If we have to do another doodle, let's certainly include this time as one of the possibilities and try to get that done really quickly, like within the next couple of days. I tend to agree with Avery, though, that maybe we really don't need another one, but I can't speak to that. We may need to ask. Thank you.
And this is Marika. If I can maybe make a suggestion that indeed we send out an email confirming the same time for next week, but basically in the email say, like, if the intention is to continue on this schedule on a weekly basis, but if this is impossible time for people, please let us know off list. And then by next week, we'll hopefully know if there are a lot of people that actually find this a difficult time, and then we can maybe consider doing another doodle poll. But maybe in that way, we find a bit of a compromise where we stick with the time, but still allow people to tell us if this is really a hard time for them.
That works for me.
Great. See, one green tick and no red one. So maybe we can stick with that one then, and I'll get a note out to the mailing list. And again, please consider sharing the working group, because we really need some help here, and hopefully speak to you all next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.